Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Wildcard Command Radio. That real call, in case you're not familiar with it, is Call to Arms. We are at that point in this operation. We are at that point in our country. This is Safe Talker. I am not a saber rattler. I'm not a rifle shaker. But we basically have been served notice. And we missed it. At least most of them did. On the first day of July, the new quarter, financial quarter, the commander-in-chief, the President of the United States of America issued an executive order. The title of this executive order was United States Policy on Pre- and Post-Strike Measures to Address Civilian Casualty in U.S. Operations Involving the Use of Force. And everybody says, and you have to go read that. It's really in there. In writing this and putting this together, he quoted another document a number of times. And that document was the Law of Land Combat. Why would he quote that? Because he wrote it. In 2015, he modified that old document that I grew up with in the military, and you probably did. There's two little clauses in there. 1.3.3.1. The law of war as a prohibitive law, and 1.3.3.2, law of war as a permissive law. Goes back to a few of the old things of law. What is not specifically prohibited is permitted. Now, with that in your mind, we roll forward to just the other day. The other day, we have a tragedy in Dallas. We had men out there doing their job, controlling the crowd, protecting the crowd. When they came under fire, they didn't run behind the cars. They ran straight at the enemy. An unusual tactic. Heroic. But goes against everything that we've seen police forces do in the last 10 years. And one of them was actually taking pictures taken on the side of a building with an orange gun in his hand. That means I'm full of blanks and I won't hurt nobody. This is important. This is something you have to look at in conjunction with everything else. The initial pictures came down, showed two people shooting from elevated positions and one shooting from behind the board. This is the one that we've all become familiar with. In one of the pictures, you watch his tactics. You watch as one of the officers run forward, and he runs around the column, shoots him in the back, and then executes him with a handgun. Wonder where he got that trained. They hold him up, and they had 2 hours of negotiation with him, where he threatened them and told them he had bombs, he had incendiaries, and they were going to all die, and he would shoot at them from time to time, and they would shoot back. They went and dug up one of their little just go take a peek drones, the little robots, and he shot it up. He knew what to do with it. A lot of knowledge. No mention of the other three shooters, though. Where'd they go? Now, here we have a sensing robot. Where's the SWAT team that normally would own that device? All I saw were short sleeves and underwear and armor. Did they think this was an exercise? But what they've done basically is they've sent us a message. When they started putting this guy's picture out, the first thing the Army did was jumped up and said he was a soldier. That's strange. For his tactic, I can understand that. But the military is generally, we don't notify anybody until the family's notified first. Why is this important that it was released to the media? But when it came down where they sent us a message, you and I and any other person who has he addressed in his executive order, the terrorism, extremism, is how they took him out. Now you have a man behind some vehicles in a parking garage. He's in the parking garage. How far can he shoot? Who can he hurt? And they took him out with 1 pound, that their release, not mine, of C4 and rapid dead cord. Any of you who've had any experience at all, if you were to grab the little detonator that makes the dead cord go off, and hold it in your hand when it popped, it would take all the skin and most of the bones out of your hand. All the charge that goes inside the C4. Now, the other device, I think they're talking about detcord. Detcord, I think it has a 2,600 feet per second burst ratio. You wrap C4 in that, it's a shape charge. Depending upon if you know what you're doing when you set the timer, that's a shape charge. It can point that force from the C4 in a certain direction. Now let's look at quantity. C4 comes in a package. That package has 4 sticks. Each one is 1/4 pound. If the bomb squads get a little partial that they really don't think that they want to go play digging in, it's not necessary, they'll put it in this great big drum, steel heavy ball drum, and they'll take about a third of that stick. They'll put a charge with a 10-second fuse, drop it inside, lock the door, and stand back 20 feet for the earth to go off. With 1 stick of that, rolled into a nice little loop, placed around about an 8-inch telephone pole, when it goes off, it will cut the pole in half. 1 pound, you can take and place against the side of one of your big new modern bridges, tie it down with the det cord so that it focuses inward, and it will take out one of those legs. Now, was this inexperience that caused them to put 1 pound on the front of a $1 million robot and send it up there to blow it up and basically they erased him. I don't think they had enough for a DNA sample after that explosion goes off.
But was that necessary?
Because what they did was violated every tenet of police work. They took out, they instead of allowing the courts to kill them, they executed an individual. Now, if I was on that police force, would I agree? You betcha. And it took me about a day to realize what's going on. Every picture you see of this young man, you don't see him unless you go on Facebook or one of the others in his African dashikis. You see him in his military uniform, a set of camis, belt to cam, a hat, sharp looking young man. What they don't mention is he trained down there at the South Dallas Mosque. You remember the South Dallas Mosque. That's where the bikers went down to Phoenix and done that little exercise in drawing Allah or Muhammad. And the head of that mosque stood up and said, bring that stuff to Dallas. So they did. And they had a major confrontation. If you remember the picture, you saw those four big guys standing up on the stage with those special beards. You saw them the other night. When Dallas was there, one of them was out there in the front, running around there with an AR. He's right, you're off and carry down there. Anybody can carry. But they don't mention that this young man, that's his mosque. So what they are saying, though, is if you are a terrorist, and right now they're showing you with him. He is a terrorist. He's an ex-soldier with time in the sandbox. And when we catch you, we're going to blow you up. If this goes unquestioned, this is a new tactic under the rules of engagement for the pre- and post-strike. Since this has happened, we've heard every left-wing politician crying, beating their chest and screaming because they want a national police force. National police force. Now, we've got a standing army that's all over the earth. They're involved in exercises without any declaration of war or any approval from Congress all over this nation. They're in Africa. They're in Canada. They're in Finland. They're in the Ukraine. They're putting more and more into Iraq. As the Iraqi says, please go home. They're in Afghanistan. Okay. This is called prepping the battlefield. We'll get rid of those people here that might not like what we're fixing to do. There are approximately 81 cities that are called UN safe cities. There's one in Fayetteville, North Carolina. How did it get to be? The chief of police, the mayor pro tem, with no approval of the people, went to Washington, D.C. and signed them up. And they are now a UN safe city. When they investigate crimes, they have a DHS agent going right along with them on the team. So in Dallas, it's been dragging its feet. Is this the purpose? The police force was investigating this as they normally should, and the FBI took over and told them to stand down. They would do the investigation. Why? But this was our battle call. We don't have much time. We need to get all of our troops and get them organized and understanding that the battle has been saying this was the first shot. Now, it was convenient to keep everybody from being excited to take out a young black ex-soldier. Why was he there? Who sent him there? But the next day, they knew more about him than they did about any of the other terrorists that they're looking for around the world. But where'd the other three go? They claim, oh, they're under arrest. Well, tell us about them. It's an ongoing investigation, and we can't discuss it. But this guy here, we can tell you everything we want to about him, except the fact that he's a member of a mosque that has unusual tendencies. It's time for us to start paying attention. We've got to get out here and start looking at our county, our state. We need to identify all the cities that have these UN safe cities and have to understand that those police officers, patriots may they be, when the thing hits the ground, they're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to stand with their friends and their fellow officers, or are they going to walk across that line and stand next to us? Nobody knows that answer. Nobody knows how many. We know they will, but we don't know how many. And we don't know what the plans that the safe cities have to control this. We've got convoys running. A week and a half ago, we had white UN MRAPs running from one end of this country to the other on back of truck, being delivered, going someplace, disappearing out of sight. That's just called prepping the battlefield. So, everybody, it's hot, it's raining. Under the cover of rain, you can move more troops, more directions than you can imagine, and nobody will see them because nobody goes out and looks at the sky when it rains. They don't go out and walk in the rain. They don't go out and look to see what kind of trains are carrying in the drain. And they don't look what's going on in their town in the rain. But we're going to have to. If you've got a mosque in your area, all Muslims are not bad. Just 1%. I like the little jelly bean commercial they have on there. Here's 10,000 jelly beans. And one of them's poisoned. Would you like one? Couldn't get anybody to take that. Likewise in this situation. There's been chatter on the Twitter feeds that the different gangs are starting to send out emails to each other saying, hey, let's get together and put things right. Those people that's not a natural event for those people. They've been fighting each other ever since they've been formed. They know each other's tactics. They know each other's things. They've lost friends. They've lost brothers. They've lost parents to that war. Now they're going to get together. Somebody's providing the money. I think it's spelled Soros. But each and every time this goes on, you and I have got to go and redo our order of battle books. We got to determine who is the good guys and who is the bad guys. I, too, have walked up to a police officer and said, hey, there are people in this town that appreciate what you're doing. But I do it with reservations. I saw that reservation today. I was going out to pay a bill, and I'm coming down the road, and there's two of the sheriff's vehicles on the side of the road. One's out in the road with his gun drawn in presentment fashion. The other one's on the other side of the road looking through the back. I drove by the car. It was a 62-year-old man. His hands were on the steering wheel, and he was shaking. But you can't discriminate. You can't just say, well, it's only because you don't know who that 62-year-old man is. And those officers are scared. Scared men, make errors. They will overreact. If you've ever been in a combat, you'll see that. Well, I'm sitting down here looking like we got somebody came to talk with us. Let's see if we can get him up on the air. This is the last number in for the five. Good morning. Welcome to Wild Card Radio.
Hi, Easy Money, this is Wizard. Can you hear me?
You're on the air. Yes, and you're on the air.
You wanted me to call in? There we go. Made her right at the end. Help me out here, Safe Dogger. I'm not sure what the topic is.
To arms. The time is here. I brought him up to date on our Commander-in-Chief's executive order for their giving them their instructions and combat instructions, and I brought them up to date on the law of land warfare with its prohibitive laws and permissive laws. But they are encouraged to quote, according to that manual.
That means we're in a world of trouble, doesn't it?
And it means that it's time for each of the units to start identifying their part of the pie. Where is their battlefield so they can prep it on their side?
Exactly. Well, most people seem to forgot the basic tenets of a militia was to defend and protect your community. That's where it all starts. And all these years, changes been going on. It's time to come out of woodwork and be a part of your community. In some cases, I would say, strongly suggest, we stand with our law enforcement officers. But they're pulling bullshit stuff like that? No, I don't think so. Not so much. Either way, we need to get a lot more serious about our training. And preparing. And recruiting. Because when the time comes, even your newest recruit will be a force multiplier. Everybody be running around crazy like and looking for some kind of leadership. Say, hey, Joe, go over here and do this. All of a sudden, you're a leader. You get 2, 4, 5, 6 people doing what you're pointing out for them to do. And you'll be left to for answers. So you need to get very serious about your training. What the future holds, I don't know. Doesn't look good, I guarantee that. Now, something else, all these militias across the United States need to understand. I keep hearing, the reason all this BLM stuff's going on is good is George Soros and all his money. Well, wait a minute now. It appears to me like they're using social media, like your Twitter, your Facebook, and all this other, even Zello, a few other forms of communication. These are networked. They're actually working together, and they're getting stuff accomplished 24 hours or less. Now, why can't we do the same thing? Quit the division amongst yourselves and work towards a common goal, the common cause. Time's short. All these little groups will fall unless they're united. A little bitty spark doesn't get a whole lot of attention. But a whole lot of sparks does. That's all I got on that. Got it?
Well,
see that spark.
And the other thing that you have to understand, see, I can understand a militia leader saying, well, I'm not going to put all my people up on that and get them compromised. Ask for a volunteer. You can find an old fart like me or Wizard in your group. Somebody that's not going to hump that 200-pound rucksack over that hill. Somebody that's not going to be running very fast or very far.
If at all.
And he can get on there for you. He can get onto those networks with those other militias in that area, and they can set up a network. Use Zello or use some radio. Amron's got nets up already. They're already established all the way across this nation. All you got to do is have an AM operator.
You know, they've been established for years. And there's another topic. I see so many groups. We don't need no state of license, a lot of paint on all that stuff. Don't even get me started on that. As many people as detest even filling a duty section for 4 hours. Imagine, if you will, you got three people with a general class license, well, four people. One of them you're going to use out in the field whenever you're out doing patrol, recon, whatever, because your little bovine, in some cases, will only work a mile. So you're going to need something a little higher power than that, which requires more of a technician license. Okay, you got these three guys pulling 8-hour shifts, 7 days a week. You know, 4 weeks out of the month, 365 days a year. How long is it going to take for them to get burned out? Suppose you get one injured or one dies. Now you got two guys doing the 12-hour shift, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If every person in your unit, your group, had a general class license, you could rotate that, same as patrols and all this other stuff. But that requires a little bit of effort, a little bit of thinking, a little bit of planning, and a little bit of money. Don't count on your internet and your Zello being up. Don't count on your bullpen being able to get out 10 miles. Sometimes it won't. I've been under actual conditions, less than a mile. So take it for what it's worth. You learn the easy way or the hard way. The hard way is going to cost lives, maybe even yours. Now you can study for that license. Hamstudy.org is free. The license itself is free. Government does not get a penny out of this. What costs is the testing facilities. That's usually about $15 for your test. You take your test for your technician, you manage to pass it. They'll ask you, you'll be graded right then and there. You'll know whether you passed or not. And if you didn't, you'll get an opportunity to retest. If you have passed that, you'll be given an opportunity to test for your general license. Go ahead. You have nothing to lose. If you get it, that's great. Congratulations. If not, go home, study up, come back the next time they do it. But that's the easy part, getting a license. Then you got to get equipped, start understanding how to work it. It's not a CV. It's not a plug and play. You don't just pick it up and hit the button. That doesn't work. You know, it requires a little bit of dedication. Suppose you treated your weapons that way. Well, hey, I bought this nice, sexy little AR here, or AK, or whatever I'm happy using. Well, I ain't going to shoot it for a while. I'll shoot it when the time comes. Maybe you got 100 rounds laid back. If you don't use it, you don't know what you can do with it. You're not learning anything. Same with the radios and the communications. You ask anybody who's been in the soup, the most valuable piece of equipment they had was a radio. Yes.
Thanks very much, Lizard. You're giving us down to our last thing. One last thing, militias.ning.com. You'll find links over there to get back here and listen to these again. What I'd like to do, though, is please motivate yourself. Go out there and start getting ready, because I don't want to have to open one of these things with taps. This is Wild Car Radio. We'll be back same time next week, Monday, at 6:30 East, 5:30 in the Central. Y'all have a nice day. Wild Card out.